Good morning. My name's Esther. I am one of the leadership team at London Road Baptist Church, and I'm also the community chaplain for the church, and I head up the town centre chaplaincy team. I'm bringing you our Thursday thought for this morning. I hope you're well, and I hope as you listen that God speaks to you and you're encouraged and you just hear something of what he wants to say to you this morning. So I don't know about you, but I've been pondering this feeling of just the heaviness and the confusion and the fear, the anticipation, the separation, the exhaustion that lockdown has brought upon us. It's like a whirlwind of emotional ups and downs, isn't it? And even as we anticipate changes and being almost back to normal on Saturday, we're just still not allowed to hug the people we love the most. And Leicester's back in lockdown, and that hangs over us a bit like a threat. And it's been, what, 102 days since this all started. It's been a long time, isn't it? And I wonder, as I sit here, how we are going to cope with the shifting uncertainty, the different expectations, the open, unending road ahead of us where we're not able to see the finish line. I think that's what makes it so hard, isn't it? And this morning I woke up just feeling led to this ancient story that deals with exhaustion and the aloneness, you know. And I don't say loneliness, although for some that is a real reality, but I think it's the aloneness of this because as we navigate this strange time, we're all experiencing the stresses and the strains and the joys and the beauty differently, aren't we? Maybe like me, you feel alone, not because you physically are, but because you feel like you're alone in your experience of it, in the particular stresses that you're facing and the way that it affects you. And I guess it's just led me to wonder what use is faith and spirituality in all of this on our walk with Jesus. What impact does that have? So I was led this morning to a story in the book of 1 Kings, starting in chapter 17 and 18. And I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to just go through a bit of the story. So basically, there's this man called Elijah, and he's a prophet. By that I mean that he's a man who knew his calling, you know. He knew he was to speak hope and life. He knew he was to challenge injustice and hear from the heart of God and speak it out into the world to challenge evil and to challenge lives that were against what God is all about. This was a job of huge emotional and spiritual highs and lows, as I'm sure you can imagine. Like, he's been speaking against corrupt governments and kings, and they're refusing to listen, as we so often see in our life at the moment. And the result is a famine in the land, like literally no rain. Like, it's hard to see sometimes the consequences of injustice and corrupt power, isn't it? Like, it's like it sucks the nourishment and the joy and the growth from people, doesn't it? And we see that across the world and in our own country where there's sort of oppression and injustice and power is being wielded. But after 3 years of this, God speaks to Elijah and tells him, now it's time for rain. Like, this season is coming to an end. But it ends in a contest, yeah. So the belief system of Baal, the belief system of the empire, is put up against the belief system of the creator God. So the prophets of one God come up against the prophets of another God. Like, I think that's the issue so often in life, isn't it? That belief systems clash, you know? We dig our trenches and we oppose and we argue in small ways and in big ways. And then there's times when we need to back down and we just need to learn to shut up. And there's times when we need to call out what is wrong and we need to stand against it. And we need to ask God for the wisdom to do that, don't we? So that we do it in the right way. So here, this contest of beliefs comes to the forefront. So there's an altar, there's a bull sacrificed on the altar. This is not something that we see in our culture, but each belief system calls on their God to bring fire on the altar to prove that they are the one in charge. This is like desperate. So the believers in the system of the empire, the followers of Baal, people that are sacrificing people for their gods, that are people of extremes and control and fear, they get really frenzied trying to call down the rain. You know, like, there's something terrifying, isn't there, about seeing people lose themselves in something that is life destroying and pointless. But they just keep going deeper with it. If that's you, I just want to say, step away, you know, see it for what it is. If you're having to sacrifice yourself and people that you love for a worldview that just keeps pulling you down, like, step away. There is an alternative to that. And the alternative is Elijah. So Elijah, he is calm. He is confident in the God that he follows. In fact, he's so confident that he pours water all over the altar that he wants God to set fire to. And he just does this simple prayer for help. Just simple and calm. And you know what? Fire falls from the sky and everyone around sees which belief system, which God is true and right. I'm really impressed by Elijah. I don't know about you. Like, I'm not sure that I would have that much faith and trust. I don't know if I'm an Elijah. I'm not really wanting that confrontation, but I am wanting that quiet trust, you know, that simple, unfrenzied trust and confidence that the one I turn to for help will answer. I don't want to have to beg and plead and tie myself up in rituals and weird spiritual practices and all of that steal life from me, you know. If it comes to that, maybe it's like I've joined the prophets of Baal, you know, putting heaviness and guilt on myself and control and pressure. But Jesus never said any of that. Jesus said things like, I have come to bring life, you know, I've come so that you can put your burdens on me. It says elsewhere in the Bible, in quietness and trust is my strength. Maybe if I'm starting to think that a frenzied approach to my relationship with God and my life is needed to get what I need to learn to just breathe and ask and wait like Elijah did. But you know, after this amazing connection with God, this amazing spiritual high, this battle for worldviews where God proves himself, Elijah isn't actually celebrating. You know what? Elijah is done. He is just done. He hears now that the empire is coming to get him and he runs away. I don't know if anybody relates to that. He is just done. Maybe you feel like that today. And he's so honest. This is what I like about Elijah. He runs away and he says to God, basically, I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. Like, I just can't cope with it anymore. I don't know if anyone feels like that. It's just too much. Yeah, like, the desperation has closed in, like this sense of I'm worthless is just, it's really, it can stalk you, can't it? Even though you've had these highs with God and you know that he is for you and that he is there and you've seen miracles in the past, even though maybe you've had a great time with friends in the past few days, even though spiritually you've seen answers, even though you've had a really good few days, when the adrenaline stops pumping, when the depression hits, when you've exhausted yourself and you're back in that dark place, you can feel like you've just had enough, can't you? And I wonder what you think God says to him. Is he like a buck yourself up? Don't you know what's just happened? Like, look at the miracle. You should be really pleased. Or is he like, why are you whining, Elijah? Get over it. It's all in your head. Just get up and get on with it. Like, we can spout such nonsense at each other, can't we? And if God is the sort of God that says that to Elijah or says that to us when we're just spent, you know, when the cloud is heavy, when we're lost, then I don't want that God, do you? That glib answer, that pull yourself out of it God. But you know what? He doesn't say that at all. Instead, there's this beautiful, tender, helpful compassion. So like an angel comes to Elijah and wakes him up, touches him like it's intimate and personal, and tells him to eat something, drink something, and then he lets him sleep again. And then he does it again until Elijah has the strength to see clearly, until his energy is restored, until he's listened to his body and his exhausted mind, let it rest, and is ready to go again. And maybe, you know, as we're We're in that place where there's been a sort of famine, aren't we? Where we're all trying to do our part, maybe where you're having massive highs and lows. Rather than getting in a frenzy, you need to hear the angel of God touch you gently and suggest maybe that you eat. You know what, like basically, maybe you just need to look after yourself. You need to nourish your body. You need to give it some fuel. And that might be like, let's start eating healthily. Or maybe it's like, do you know what, you just need some comfort. He says to you, like, take in some fluids. This is so practical. Like, your body needs water. Like, have a drink and then sleep. Like, listen to your body. Don't ignore it. Like, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Listen to the exhaustion. Know the angel of God is with you. Take a moment. This God that we believe in doesn't dismiss our emotions. You know, he looks after us in it. But he also isn't going to let us stay there. He's always calling us forward. I'm just betting at this moment, you know, where this is happening and Elijah is getting this food and he's getting this water. I reckon he's just too emotionally exhausted to understand where the help's coming from, because we rarely feel spiritually alive and connected when we're in the pit, do we? But as he starts to re-energize, as the practice of self-care helps him recharge, God comes and meets with him. And not in a really loud, impressive way, you know, not in a wow, what an amazing transformational spiritual experience, but in a quiet, gentle, soft way, in the way that he needs. He hears God whisper to him gently, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And I love that, because I just think that God comes to us as we need him to. And he says to all of us, like, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Really gently, what is it you're doing? This God isn't harsh. His spirit is described as a comforter, isn't he? And so I really do think that he comes to each of us and just says, what are you doing? And he allows us to answer really honestly, as Elijah does. Like, Elijah cries out in his pain. He says, like, I've served you and I feel like I'm the only one left now. I'm exhausted and I'm done. I've done what I'm called to do. I'm scared. I'm alone. I'm exhausted. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to be this mum. I don't know how to be this dad. I don't know how to do this job well. I don't know how to be who I'm supposed to be in the world. And in his honesty, God brings him help. And so maybe it just struck me that, like Elijah, as we try to do our role in life, you know, as we try to be the person we're called to be, as we stand against injustice, against the empire, against wrong beliefs, against lies, and the frenzy of trying to prove yourself, you know, or like the prophets of Baal, as we're stuck in the pressure of standing the ground of a belief system that we know is failing us, the comforting voice of the divine, of the creator, comes to us and he does answer us. And he says, do you know what? You're really low. Get some sleep. Rest up. Go to bed earlier. Try and get some routine. Eat properly. Have a drink of water, you know, like, so your body and your mind start to recharge. And as you do that, listen to my whisper that wants to really gently lead you to a place where I can help you and restore you and care for you. I'm not in the chaos, he says. When you need gentle encouragement, one step at a time, that's where I am. So I think I'm just going to close with a prayer. God, some of us are in that place where we're just exhausted, where we need to practice some self-care, and where we're just at a point where we're so low that we don't even realise that you're with us. It's really hard. And so we just say, help us practice that self-care and help us hear the whisper of your spirit that says, what are you doing here? Let me lead you forward. I am always with you. You don't need to frenzy yourself and work yourself up. Be calm and breathe and care and hear my comfort. Receive my peace and let me take you one step at a time forward to where you need to be. Amen. And we're going to close, if that's spoken to you, we're just going to have a song just to reflect on that's called Oceans. And it talks about God leading us forward and being with us wherever our feet take us and whatever storm we're in. I really hope that God's spoken to you this morning. Have a good day. Take care. Bye.
You called me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. the way. My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are.